This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Raise Your Game. I'm Tasha Fusil. Most of us navigate our way through life based on a path that we spend our whole lives planning. From the little things like what to wear or what to have for lunch, to the more major life-altering decisions. Like what degree to study or what job to take or who to date. Almost nothing is left to chance. And this has become perfectly acceptable in a world that likes to leave no room for errors. But Tanya Luna, the author of Surprise, wants more people to realize the kind of growth, happiness, and connections that can happen when we open ourselves up to surprise and unpredictability. Tanya, when I think of surprises, what immediately springs to mind are things like the very hard-to-pull-off surprise birthday parties or the unexpected forks in the road. You know, there's often this taint of negativity attached to the idea of a surprise.
Yeah, I hear you that for a lot of us, surprise is associated with an unpleasant emotion. And it was like that for me for a long time. I loved surprising people, but I used to hate getting surprised. And I think it's because for many of us, surprise makes us feel out of control, and we associate that feeling with fear or shame or embarrassment. It absolutely doesn't have to be that way, so psychologists call surprise a neutral emotion. But for many adults in particular, I think surprise starts to get really scary.
What would you say falls under that umbrella of surprise? What kind of experiences would be considered a surprise that people wouldn't usually associate with the term?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I think that you're right that when people think about surprise, they imagine these really big surprises like, you know, a wedding proposal or winning the lottery or something really terrible happening like where I am right now in New York, everyone's anticipating a hurricane. And so they think of that as a surprise.
Right.
But actually, surprise for our brain is really a broad category. So seeing a butterfly, you know, a really colorful butterfly right outside your window, that's also a surprise. Bumping into an old friend or having a nice conversation with a stranger, anything that interrupts your patterns. You know, in the workplace, a surprise could be your boss or your colleague just stopping to say thank you during a really busy, maybe not fantastic day. So for our brains, a surprise is anything that's unexpected or misexpected.
How do these surprises, these interruptions to the brain, how do they affect the way that we experience the world?
Actually, there's a lot of really interesting research on how surprise impacts our day-to-day life, and there's several things that happen. First, surprise makes us kind of pause. It makes us freeze in the moment and really pay attention to what's going on. And, you know, the busier, crazier our lives get, the more important I think it is for an emotion to just make a stop and pay attention. So there's that freeze reaction. The next thing that happens is we get really curious. So whenever something a little bit unexpected, even if it's small, starts to happen, our minds start racing with questions and curiosity and wonder. And the neurotransmitter associated with that is called dopamine. Dopamine, whether it's in our personal lives, in a romantic relationships, or at work, that's the neurotransmitter associated with interest, excitement, and motivation. And then a few other things happen. So surprise, if it's a positive experience, can actually can lead to more optimism, can lead you to see your entire life as potentially more promising. It elevates mood. You know, negative surprises, of course, are can be devastating, but they have some positive consequences as well. So negative surprises get us to kind of reevaluate the choices we've made and possibly consider new directions. Surprise also gets us to connect more with other people, so it gives us this urge to talk about our experience. And then the last thing I would mention is surprise tends to become the seed of some of our most vivid memories. So when you think back on life, those memories that are going to pop up as the most emotional ones, as the richest ones, will almost always contain some small element of surprise.
That, to me, is fascinating because you wouldn't, it's not something you immediately identify or recognize. You think of that memory, but you don't connect the dots that it is as a result of a surprising encounter or a surprising experience.
Yeah, It's interesting because, you know, we talk so much about emotion as humans. We talk about happiness and sadness and fear, but nobody ever talks about surprise. And I think it's because when we're surprised, I'm paying attention to the thing that's surprising me. I'm not paying attention to myself. I'm not paying attention to my own emotion. That's what I love about surprise, is that it's this moment of being completely unself-conscious because you're so focused on this thing that's unexpected.
You do something very interesting, in fact, for a living. You know, can you tell me more about that?
The way I got involved in researching surprise is I started a company called Surprise Industries. My sister and I, again, back then, I was doing research in psychology and on emotion, but I was not yet interested in surprise. But the idea for the business was we would get people to sign up for an experience, but they wouldn't know what it was going to be until they got there. So the surprise could be anything from learning how to do fire eating to taking a samurai sword fighting class to maybe getting a walkthrough of a famous restaurant. So the idea was to get people out of their comfort zone and to get people to just experience something unexpected in their lives. That's how I got interested in surprise. So we ran Surprise Industries and created custom surprises for about 6 years. And since then, actually last year, I joined forces with the co-author of the book, Surprise, Leanne Renninger, and now I do training for companies in all kinds of skills, but all in some way connected to adding more surprise to your work or strategically reducing surprise from work. Mm-hmm. So in the meanwhile, Surprise Industries has become more of like a laboratory. So instead of charging people for surprise, we do kind of spontaneous surprises with the community that we've built over the years. And we have something called the experiment where people sign up and they agree that at some point in their lives we might surprise them. And they never know how it'll happen or when it'll happen or whether it'll happen. But the idea is just to get a bunch of people waiting for something interesting to happen in their lives. So Surprise Industries has become kind of like a playground for me while my full-time work is now working with Life Labs doing training for companies.
That's amazing. I feel like it would take an immense amount of creativity to be able to continually surprise people.
That's part of the joy of it. I think, you know, it's whether you're surprising people at work and you're coming up with, you know, a lot of the companies we work with, they're constantly coming up with little surprises for their employees, whether it's a special event or a thank you gift, coming up with surprises in your relationship, or if you decide to surprise people for a living, which was really challenging, but so fulfilling because you're just using your brain in these crazy ways, you know, and you're allowing yourself to think of ridiculous ideas. I can't even tell you, like, my apartment is still filled with strange things. Like, I have a chicken costume and I have I can't tell you how many like water guns and face paints, and it kind of makes life really delightful and interesting.
And, you know, I'm sure the impact that you've seen or the effect of impact that it's had on your clients, what is that like?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a really fascinating journey. When we first started doing these surprises, we first just started surprising the general public as well as couples. And that's how I got interested in surprise, because what I started seeing is people would go into this experience kind of nervous and uncomfortable and excited but also scared. And then they would walk away with just this new energy and playfulness. And, you know, of course, it was just such a small thing. Like, maybe they just learned how to juggle. But they would walk away from it and say, hey, you know, what else in my life am I being a little too cautious with? Right. What else in my life am I planning too much? So maybe I've got to loosen up and step outside my comfort zone. So that was the impact. And when we started working with companies, with many of them, it was similar, where they were like, holy crap, you know, as a team, maybe we have to be more daring, be more willing and more open to surprise. Although with others, it was harder. And that's why, in part, we stepped away with planning surprises for companies, because it was hard for some teams to be willing to feel that vulnerable and to step outside their comfort zone, because they were always worried about looking silly. And I think that, you know, that's a life lesson for me anyway, is when you're worried about feeling silly or making a mistake, you really don't have the opportunity to grow and to connect with people.
We'll talk more about the resistance to surprises and if people truly mean when they say that they don't like surprises. Back in a bit, this is Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9. Raise Your Game, good morning, I'm Tasha Fasil. I'm with Tanya Luna, who wrote a book called Surprise, which is all about embracing the unpredictable and learning more about how to engineer the unexpected. Now, lots of people say that they don't like surprises. Tanya, do you think they really mean what they say, or is there something else that's triggering that kind of thinking, that pattern of thinking?
Well, I mean, I can speak for myself. I really, really didn't like surprises for a while, and it means I still, you know, my birthday's coming up next week, and I'm still kind of dreading it. But I think for me, I didn't like surprise because I just had a lot of change in my life. I felt, you know, even from when I was a young child, moving to the United States with my family and moving from place to place, I think I experienced so much surprise that I tried to protect myself by preventing other surprises from happening. And the result of that is maybe you feel more in control, but that control is kind of an illusion because, you know, you can never really control everything that's happening around you. And then you're constantly seeing every surprise as a problem rather than seeing it as an exciting opportunity. So I guess to people who are uncomfortable with surprise, I would just challenge them to stretch that comfort just tiny bit by tiny bit. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't suggest, you know, going to jump out of a plane or let people, you know, blindfold them and put them in a moving car.
Right.
But, you know, just a little by little, you know, turn left instead of turning right when you're, you know, walking outside of your home, or call someone that you haven't spoken to in a long time. So just interrupting your routine little by little builds that excitement and comfort with surprise.
What's the first thing you do when you're trying to break down that barrier that people have when it comes to embracing the good and the bad that comes with surprises?
Paradoxically, one of the things that we learned, especially in working with companies, is that you can't start building in more surprise, more excitement, more unpredictability until you have a few things that are really safe and solid and predictable.
Mm-hmm.
So we once had a client ask us to come in and make their company, you know, just create more surprise. And they felt like people weren't playful enough. They weren't creative enough. And what we realized was that people didn't feel safe in the company. They occasionally, they didn't get paid in time. They also had someone who worked with the company who is in a position with a lot of power that was really moody, so sometimes he would yell at people, sometimes he would laugh with them. And so I think step one is find the things in your life that, or in your work, that are going to be really stable and safe and predictable. We need at least a few of those things, like a couple of people that you can really trust, a few traditions or rituals or routines. Once you have that, then I would say find one small thing that you've been doing repetitively, like do you always eat the same thing for breakfast? Or do you always spend time with the same friends or the same kinds of people? And just start creating little interruptions to your patterns, just little by little. And if that feels interesting, if that feels pretty good, then challenge yourself to go a step further. I think a really nice way to get comfortable with surprise is to start learning new things, and ideally strange things. Like, you know, I love one of the things that people liked most when we did surprises was sword fighting. You know, it's hard to judge yourself too much when you're learning to do sword fighting.
Right.
Because, you know, it's kind of, so you don't do it well, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
So really just pushing yourself to do little fun, interesting things that aren't your typical way to spend time. And the reason I think learning is a nice way to get stretch your comfort zone as it's rewarding. You start, maybe you feel a little uncomfortable and a little silly, but then you feel proud of yourself for picking up at least a little bit of a new skill. And, you know, you go home at night and you think back on your week, and that really stands out to you as a bright memory.
Tell me more about what you're doing at Life Labs.
Yes, at Life Labs New York, what we do is we work mostly with companies that are experiencing a lot of surprise. So they're often technology startups, so companies with like 200 to about 1,000 people. They're changing really, really fast. They employ a lot of young people who aren't very experienced but very passionate. And so we provide skills training, so training in things like emotion regulation or asking really effective questions that help people become effective even in the midst of constant change and surprise and uncertainty. So that's what we do at Life Labs.
Okay, so it's sort of in the opposite direction of promoting surprise. It's more about how to handle the challenges that come with incredible change and uncertainty.
Yeah, and almost like how to move with it instead of moving against it. Mm-hmm. So one of the skills that we focus quite a lot on in almost all of our workshops is question skills. So often what happens is when there's something that's unexpected that happens, people go into kind of guessing mode or prediction mode or else they just try and kind of go into flight mode and they just don't ask any questions and they get very scared. And so one of the things that we give people training in is how to really be flexible in the kinds of questions you ask so that you can see different perspectives and find new opportunities. So if there's a problem, instead of just trying to find a solution right away, we teach people the skill of staying curious, and whether that's in the face of a problem or when working with different kinds of people. So it's not quite working against surprise, it's more like working with it.
Okay, I totally get you, because I mean that's what life is all about. I mean, all these unexpected, you can't plan everything in your life, and things are out of your control, and you've got to learn how to deal with it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, for a lot of other companies that do training in kind of people skills, their perspective is still very much revolving around this idea that we can control and predict our environments. And so what we're really interested in is, what are the skills you need once you accept that everything's going to keep changing and it's going to change faster and faster and faster? So that's been a really interesting way to look at surprise skills in a way that's not just planning surprise events.
On a final note, what's a good thing to remember so that we can be more open to embracing the whole notion of living life with surprises?
Well, there's a few things that I try to remind myself whenever I get uncomfortable with surprise, and one of them is we feel most comfortable when things are certain, but we feel most alive when they're not. And to me, that's a reminder that just because I feel uncomfortable doesn't mean it's a problem. This might be one of the best opportunities for me to grow and to learn and to discover something about myself or about the world. So that's been motivating for me. I think the other thing I think about often is something my husband once said to me, which is that explorers don't have maps. So if you're ever going to do something new and different in this world, you can't expect for it to be predictable or for it to be safe and under your control. So when you're going into uncharted territory, just remind yourself that you're an explorer. You're not lost. You're just discovering new territory.
Thank you so much, Tanya. It was such a pleasure to speak to you.
Likewise. Thank you.
Tanya Luna, the author of Surprise. This has been Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.